You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But even if the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but if you had to stay indoors, please do so. And if you were outdoors, I know you were protected. You had your mask on, your gloves on, you was all ready to go. Because that's what time it is. I don't give a damn what they say about opening up this, that, and the other. One thing we know, this virus is killing people. So please be protected, family, especially us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. And click on that, and then you'll see podcast at the top. Click on that, and then you'll see the drop down and African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled all the way from 2017 to present. Thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Excuse me. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones, immediately following this program at 1, from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8 with Brother Wahad, followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Always good conversation and interesting topics. Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, you know it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays at 4, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 Central, once again, it's Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition. Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Sunday, Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Go check them out. I know one thing they're trying to do is establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. They need donations. They need support. WeBuyBlack.com. And they have I just was on the website last week and have an array of new products that they have on the website. So go to WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba, Africa for the Africans. his previous tours have been moved were repositioned because he was supposed to be going twice already this time. But the most upcoming tour that he has is November, South African tour, November 20th through the 30th, $3,700. Then in December, the Ghana reinvestment tour, December 24th to January 5th, $3,700. And then next year, April 2nd through the 12th, 2021, Senegal and Gambia toured at 3,500. You can go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or you can give Brother Bomani Tahimba a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Rinoco Rashidi, Brother Rinoco has a tour coming up in October. In October, that is Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. Just check out the beautiful pictures and stuff that Brother Rinoco has on his website. And then, of course, October 22nd through November 4th, he's going to go to Kemet. Both of those tours are around $4,200. Check out Dr. Rinoco Rashidi. Go online to drrinoco.com, and get the information. Also, on Brother Bomani's page, everything you need to make that trip happen is on that page. All the documents, visa information, and so forth. Everything you need. Okay. Habesha, Habesha, Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha Incorporated. Believe me, they're doing the work. The Kashi Project that they have in Ghana, the buildings are being raised and so forth. I mean, they're doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Habesha. The Shrine of the Black Madonna will be opening soon, I believe. I haven't contacted Brother Olatunji yet, but I will do so very soon. So, and he believed the probably the classes will start back. It'll be some changes, of course. Everything is going to be some changes, as it should be. And then the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall is open. And so Mama Nia, she's open. And give her a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. She has the books and gifts and so forth. Check if she doesn't have the book that you're requesting, believe me, she'll get it for you. As well as my good friend, Brother Gazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give Brother Gazimde a call. He's got his coffee. He's selling coffee. He's got a booth set up and so forth. So he's got it. He's consistently improving Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. The number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. And at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, that's where We Buy Black has a lot of its products now, is right there at Wadada's, located right in the West End, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian and the West End Mall, 878 Ralph David Abernathy here in Atlanta in the West End at Wadada's. So, Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Real, she has sent me some more information and pictures of what's going on in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, in the mountain area, in the rural area, and the work that she's doing. She deserves to be supported. Please go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, A-Y-I-T-I dot org, Sanjay-Haiti. Oh, Kef. Oh, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Dare to win. That's the Us Lifting Us broadcast. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And that's from 9 to 10 on Thursdays, the Thursday night broadcast of Us Lifting Us. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Yah, and they deserve to be supported. Believe me, the work that they're doing. So make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, P.O. excuse me, 30310. And if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, put in the dollar sign
Yah, Y-A-A, letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make your donations through Cash App or PayPal. All right. Oh, my guest today is Brother Kenneth Marshall. Can't wait to get to Brother Kenneth. I got a few more announcements. And I got to read the NEA Say Sim. My guest on Wednesday will be Dr. Ben Orr. And my guest on Friday will be Dr. Rinoco Rashidi. My good friend, Brother Dr. Rinoco Rashidi on Friday. So I can't wait to have those guests come up and other stuff that we're trying to do here on time. Here on African Perspectives on Time for an Awakening. Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Since I was gone, I'm going to read the Inye Sesems that I missed. So it's going to be, please bear with me, my guests, please. And so May 15th, we'll start with May 15th, 16th, 17th, and of course today is the 18th. And because these are hard-hitting and ironic, another irony. May 15th. If armed militia are not organized, the masses cannot manifest their power in the struggle against the enemy. Kwame Nkrumah, Osagyefo, Kwame Nkrumah. I will not be intimidated by an enemy. I will show them no fear. I will not compromise the integrity of our people. I will not retreat from the battle except as a tactic to gain a decisive military advantage. I will train my mind, body, and spirit in the warrior's methods of my ancestors. I will study other warrior methods only as a means of determining how more decisively to defeat them. I will remember that those we consider masters of death, destruction and domination could never have defeated us without our assistance. They are not that good. I will never vent my rage against family. Family is what I'm charged to protect. I will show my people's enemies only the mercy that they demonstrated towards my ancestors. I will listen to no other propaganda than that of proven African warriors who come before me and who now stand at my side. I will not judge my enemies individually. Enemy is understood in the context of nations at war. I will protect my elders, my complement, and my children. I will always be on guard. I will never lower my eyes from the enemy. I trust only worthy Africans. A person cannot be a friend and an enemy at the same time. I repeat, a person cannot be a friend and an enemy at the same time. Dismiss contradictory Africans. It is no accident that treason has become a profitable survival strategy for the weak and spineless who deceitfully infiltrate our sanctuaries looking for faults to create and exploit for our enemies. If for no other reason, warriors must prove their worth and loyalty. Ashe. Affirm, I am fully armed. Affirmed, I am fully armed. May 16th. In the face of cultural aggression of all sorts, in the face of all disintegrating factors of the outside world, the most efficient cultural weapon with which people can arm itself is this feeling of historical continuity. Dr. Sheikh Anta Jajab. Awareness of our story is the umbilical cord to our true selves, and the strength of this vital connection to our source and sanity is dependent on the depth and dynamism of our understanding of our story. If we want to find our way back home, and indeed we must, if we are to gain and maintain an African sanity, we must not only know our story, but we must also live it, building the present into the future upon the beneficial pattern of the past. Living in this place, this dead, whitewashed cultural wasteland, we know this is a task most Africans would easily fail. For we intimately know that this is an alien's anti-African cultural space, and we recognize the innumerable crimes committed against our African minds. At the same time, we also know that to submit to this insanity is to tear the only umbilical cord we have to be who we naturally are. Any other lifeline is nothing more than electrified razor wire. Wow. I say. Affirm, I have shielded myself within the security of African culture. Affirm, I have shielded myself within the security of African culture. May 17th, religion is the deification of a people's culture. Dr. Joseph Ben Jochanan, Dr. Ben. We have been taught to love and hate as oppositional. We find it extremely difficult to imagine loving humanity, but at the same time hating those individuals who bring nothing but destruction and chaos to humanity. Europeans have made Jesus Christ a hero to us only because elevating this mentality as our personal political philosophy saves them, not us. Because those of us who claim Christianity's view Jesus Christ's ultimate sacrifice as a spiritual gift of possible salvation to those who despise him, and because they use him as a model for at least their verbal behavior, it places us in an inevitable position of needing to sacrifice ourselves to save our destroyers. Damn. It places us in a psychological, unsound, no-win situation. We are moved to place ourselves in harm's way to betray those closest to us who would act against our enemies, those betraying of our Christ. To forgive whatever is done to us as acts of those who just do not understand what they do, and to operate suicidally in the presence of our enemies. We want to be Christ, attention-wise. We want to be the one glorified for the ultimate sacrifice. The big prize, the greatest fame, would come from saving the bringers of chaos and destruction by allowing them to kill us in the name of Christ. We selfishly give ourselves in the hope that our death will guide them to see their wrong and lead them to beg us for forgiveness. This seemingly unselfish act would, of course, also guarantee our entry into an otherworldly heaven. That's deep. Ah, man. A shame. Affirm, I believe in nothing that would lead me to sacrifice myself to my enemies. Affirm, I believe in nothing that would lead me to sacrifice myself to my enemies. Today, May 18th, an artist, if he is truly an artist, is only interested in one thing, and that is to wake up the minds of men. Marvin Gaye. Ironically, now I'm saying this on the real. That is the music that is going to be played today. Marvin Gaye, what's going on? And I didn't do this. This just happened, brothers. Believe me, this is just the beauty of our ancestors. I say. The album, What's Going On, one of the most profound African musical creations ever. Mercy, Mercy Me, Inner City Blues, Save the Children, and the title songs are only a few of the cuts that awaken the deadened consciousness of so many Africans blindly spiraling head first into the abyss of a colorless, identityless, blameless initiative insanity. After listening to this brother upon his return from the European war against the Vietnamese and against the better wishes of his producer, Brother Marvin composed a masterpiece of consciousness that not only the genius of a supreme musical war could have created to wake up the minds of our people. Sadly, so few of us today, the music talent has been fit to wake up our African minds. Even sadder, some of those defending the Europeans' appropriation of our music as if it belongs to them or is somehow evident of being us. This historical self-serving pattern is clear. Once they neutralize the political force that sets revolutionary thoughts in motion, they exploit the motion as if it were something they originally created or embraced. Nevertheless, today, there are still true warrior artists out there like Professor Griff, Dead Prez, Stickman, Talib Kweli, Paris, Nas, United Front, Precise Science, Shaka, and Morale, who have taken on the responsibility of giving us lyrics dedicated to our ancestors' future. They should be honored for having acted on the courage to wake us up. Affirm, I study the genius of our artistic messengers of consciousness. Affirm, I study the genius of our artistic messengers of consciousness. The Inye Sasim of Daily. revolutionary thought. The Enye Sesem. Oh, brothers and sisters, I do have the pleasure of having a brother who I've had on the program before. Brother Kenneth Marshall, are you there?
I am here, Brother Oshie. What's going on?
Man, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, man. You do so much. You know, you're an artist, you're an entrepreneur, you're a lot of things, brother. And
yes,
it's a
sir.
Beauty.
Yes, sir.
And it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on to talk about some of the things that are happening. So let's engage in some conversation. I know one thing for sure, that you do have a product that is out there, the waffles. Every time I see a picture of you and the lucky person who has a jar of them. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Today is the my first year, complete year, 365. Started the business last year. Was working at mortgage company, and we had a Cinco de Mayo spread, and they had was wondering, everybody was bringing, the particular food. And I was like, man, I don't know. I'll cook my waffles.
Right on.
And at the time, yeah. And I said, I'll bring my waffles in my, and the lady I was dating at the time was there. So she was like, yeah, his waffles are amazing. I need to tell you. So I brought them in. They loved them. And people were like, one guy just basically, I told a story on a little write-up that I had in one of the local chairs, told me, it's just like you, Ken, a Steelers fan, sleeping on your gift.
Oh,
and when
okay.
he said that, it just kind of slapped the hell out of me. Just kind of like, oh, maybe this is my way in. And so researched it, went to LegalZoom, got all my paperwork, LLC, EIN, everything. And it was all official on May 18th, 2019. So this is the
wow.
first year. We got over 400 jars sold.
This is the actual anniversary.
Actual anniversary.
Right on. It's a pleasure. Yeah. And so today you mentioned you sold how many?
Over 400. It's like around 411.
Right on. Continue to grow, man. Probably
you
need some more outlets, man. We need to have it here in the ATL, man. I needed to be a distributor.
Yeah, man, and that's the hardest thing, man. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm looking, if I was thinking, just had a vision, if I was to ever go on a show like a Shark Tank, or whatever, I'm trying to mm-hmm. think, how would I market it? Mm-hmm. Because right now I'm a wholesaler, and the shelf life of pre-made batter is like 10 days. Now I got to have facilities
right.
to get it out to you, so it's a hard thing. And I'm like, maybe I need to just try to make a dry mix of my flour, baking
right.
soda, whatever, and then get it on shelves and then have my instructions of how I manipulate the ingredients on the back, so your product can turn out like mine. If you follow the instructions. So I'm just trying to figure it out. Right now, the next move here in Dallas is going to be a food truck, and then maybe we can franchise food trucks and then have somebody else mm-hmm. carry it out in Atlanta.
Right on. Or any other major city.
And any other. Exactly.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Beautiful. Well, when we first had a conversation, it was because of some of the things that you sent out on Facebook that I thought mm-hmm. were very thought-provoking and very cultural, in terms of what you were saying about our condition, our history, mm-hmm. and so forth. And that's what caused me to contact you, because I like what you were putting out there. I'm always on there looking. I don't do a lot of, I forward stuff. But I don't do a lot of stuff written. I just look and see what's out there, and I'll comment,
right.
Or put a face on it or smiley face or whatever. And but mm-hmm. I saw that the information that you were sending out was very thought-provoking and very conscious. And so that's why I wanted to, get you on the show that time. And, of course, here's a good day, a good follow-up because of the anniversary of you being in business and leaving the mortgage
right.
flakes and then doing what you're doing. But you're also still writing about, and, of course, you have two books out, don't you? You have two books out?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Why Must We Play Games in Dating Truths, Loss Prevention versus Damage Control.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that we got to deal with because, if anything, we need each other. We need men and women to work together. That's a serious problem because one of the things that we know is that we need family life. We need brothers and sisters to come together, you know, and deal with family. I know one of the things that Baba Baruti constantly deals with, talking about developing good family life and understanding what your complement, your husband or your future husband or your future wife should be about in terms of, you know, our struggle and so forth. So these things are vitally important. If we are going to be a self-determining people, we must work in that area. We can't be fragmented. We got to be together, you know.
Absolutely. And I look at it like this. I mean, you have to kind of, before you can solve a problem, you have to isolate the problem. And then now from isolation, the problem or problems, now you know how to attack them. You can research them to figure out how can we overcome it? How can we then prevent it for future generations to where it doesn't come back again? It's almost like a vaccination to a problem. And I look at it as though if you isolate the problem, we know that there were some other outside forces like war on drugs, for-profit prisons, death rates, and other things that have kind of taken the black father out of the home. But in his absence, you left a strong woman, but she still had her natural nurturing instincts to where when you have a son that's in that particular environment, single mother household, now you can kind of see how the lack of family leadership that these boys who are turning into men out of this single mother household is lacking, because the mother's natural nurturing mm-hmm. nature says, okay, I'm going to coddle you to a degree. And it's something that's it's natural to her. Now, again, the root cause of it is the absentee father. If you want to look at it, and I always give like scenarios, if you want to look at that, you can say the absentee father was a guy who may have went out to the woods. He created a campfire, and then he left the mother and the son there. He just left in the middle of the night without them knowing. She wakes up. She sees a campfire is about to get to the edge of the barrier to maybe start a forest fire. She has water or gasoline to pour on it. Mm. She chooses gasoline. And that gasoline comes in the form of overcoddling, not allowing your son to be too emotional and not logical, allowing your son to believe that the easiest way to problem solve is to say, mama. And now you have also big sister, auntie, and grandmother, all following this same natural nurturing instinct. And now the boy gets up to become a teenager and a man. His problem-solving mechanism is still mama. And guess what? She's just as trained as he is to come running for when he calls as he is trained to call on her. Mm-hmm. So now you got these women who are basically going from the extension of their household when they're taking care of their brother, and now they take care of their man. Mm-hmm. So the leadership is lacking. And it's not self-correcting. Oh, she is not self-correcting. So we got to figure out a way to address the single mother that has the son 2 years or younger, because if you let him get too old in that system, now you need rehab of the boy. We're trying to do a preventive maintenance measures. And maybe we can give them some 5 to 10 step processes to say, hey, these are some of the things that can create good habits. Because all of a responsible man is a man who has habitual problem solving skills and training. He just trained himself to be responsible. He does the right thing. He does the responsible thing. You can develop those habits. It shouldn't be do whatever I want to, and mom is going to soften the blow of any consequences. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's where we are. So we got to isolate that. So I think since it's not a self-correcting situation, obviously, because it's still spiraling out of control, we got to figure out how can we combat the powers that be that are trying to destroy the black man. And in despite within those circumstances, how can we also correct it and still get them to be the responsible man and leaders that we need them to come back into the home and have our family structure reinstated, mm-hmm. or maybe restored.
And see, and that's what we need, because the bottom line is we know. Wait a minute. Those of us who have an understanding and a conscience know that this is by design. Some of us believe that this is something that is a problem within us. You know, that this was not created by those who want to destroy it, but this is a problem within us. No, it's not a problem within us. It's a problem because this is what we're in. And what we're in is a European society that has always devalued and hated particularly black men.
You know, I always said that you know, European men run the society, and the greatest threat to them, the greatest threat is us as African men. That's why, like, if you look at here in Atlanta, there are many women here in Atlanta who have come here and got degrees or come here with degrees, and they're working at really decent jobs. They got a nice car and a nice, you know, home and so forth, or a condo apartment. But they say to themselves, where are the men?
Right.
You know, where is my mate? Where is my compliment? You know, because a lot of the brothers, you know, they don't have those degrees. They don't have those connections. And the sister, I understand she's worked herself up to a position, and I understand the idea and the attitude. I'm not going to settle for less, you know, but there may be a brother out there who is doing the best that he can, working at a job that, you know, it's not a skilled job, but he's working hard, but he has a good mind. He has a good heart. He could be that kind of compliment to you that y'all can, you know, come together and raise a family. He may even have a positive attitude, because you make more than me, I'm still the man. You know?
Exactly.
I'm still the man. Exactly. Not that I dictate to you, but I'm still the man of the house. And I do things to make sure that our house is protected. You know?
Right.
Our situation is
exactly.
But yet what happens here is that African men are degraded and demeaned and destroyed in this society. It's by design. You know? It's
absolutely.
Go ahead.
No. Yeah, I'm saying, I'm just agreeing with you. Absolutely. Because I have a situation. I tell this story. Me and at that same job. No, well, it was a job prior to that. I've been in mortgage industry for about 15, 16 years. So it's up and downs. You have the layoffs. You have whatever. So anyway, it was at this one particular job. I got my girlfriend at the time onto this particular job. We are the two top performers, right? Bonusing out of just the top two performers, the most bonus that we could ever, you know, on the floor, out of all the employees on the team. So the boss's boss, the manager, district manager, he comes in, and we're in the break room. He says, "Hey, Big Ken, I didn't know you and such were an item or were dating. I didn't co-sign it. We never announced it. We're equals. I'm not managing over her, and she's not managing over me. We're on two separate teams. So even if we were dating, what would be the issue?" But he said, after that, after he made this comment, he said, "Man, y'all are making all the dough." I knew it was a problem. As soon as he said that, a week and a half later, guess what? I'm on one end of the building. She's on the other end of the building. And we have to show our lease to show that we're not living together.
Wow.
Now, check me out on this. So a month and a half later, after still performing, guess who had to go? The brother. She can stay. It's always been work for women. Even in the roughest time of slavery, they always had something for you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You had something between your legs that they wanted.
Exactly. But, man, I'm perplexed now why you had to go. And what was the reason? I mean, they have a no cohabitation law or something?
Man, they found this at will. We're the at will state. Okay, that was the first thing.
Yeah, so that's when messed up. That's messed up.
I mean, absolutely. It's totally messed up. So it was a technicality on me noting an account, and I didn't include something.
Okay.
And I'm on no write-up. I'm on no final. I mean, I'm basically, it just went straight to term. And if you want to fight it, go lawyer up and do what you want to do. But basically, you got to go, because you can't have. And then another situation, when I was in Austin, I was working at Motorola. It was unlimited overtime, semiconductor, unlimited overtime. So you had the employee parking lot, and then you had the other parking lot, gas and whatever. So big guy from Santa Clara and Silicon Valley, he came down, and he's touring. So we're walking around with him touring. One of the brothers come through, since it's unlimited overtime, he didn't bought him a new fancy BMW. And at this time, it's early 90s, he's blasting P.E., Public Enemy. So the white guy looks around at us, and he sees this fancy BMW go parking into the regular employee parking lot. He looks back at us with this bewildered look, and he says, "How much are we paying these guys?" So before he left, that was on Tuesday, before he left Friday, he took away unlimited overtime. You had to only get maximum of 10, and if you have to go over 10 hours overtime, you have to get a managerial approval. It lets you know that they can't stand us. Monologue is just succeeding. Period. They just can't deal with it. It just irks their pink nerves.
Well, look at Trump and his aversion to Obama. Now, I'm not an Obama fan at all, but still, you could see the hatred, the deep-seated hatred that he has for Obama to this very time, you know? It's crazy.
You'd be like, what warrants this level of hate, man? You just can't stand to see a black man succeeding. Doesn't matter who he is. You can act like you're okay, but even if the coolest white guy has some level of sentiment against a brother in a better position than him. Yeah. It just never fails.
This is a deep-seated hatred that Europeans have for African people, and it's part of their evolutionary development. When Africans migrated out of Africa and got cut off by that ice age, you know, and we mutated, we changed, you know, our body styles, the melanin in our skin, the pigment in our skin, the nose, the lips. All of those had a transformation. And so as a consequence, you know, the European has hated us ever since. He hates us because he ain't us, you know?
Right.
And so.
Exactly.
And so, you know, with the development of Greece and what Greece was able to steal, the Greeks are tremendous pledgers. You know, they're tremendous people who have co-opted so much from Africa. You know, and even when Alexander the so-called great was in ancient Kemet, when he died, he didn't want to go back to Greece. He wanted to because the culture that we had established, which had been in existence already for thousands of years, was so dynamic that he wanted to stay. And then his generals stayed. They became the Ptolemies after the 30th dynasty. That's where Cleopatra comes from. That's why people say, was she Caucasian? She was an admixture of the indigenous people who were African and the Greeks that came there and took it. So she would be like a high yellow sister that you would see on the street, okay? So, but the bottom line is that they felt that this is superior, and we got to have it. We got to take it. And then after the Greeks, of course, the Romans came in, and then Europe came into a serious decline. And so we taught them. This is the first time they sat at our feet. In fact, if you know that story about Greece, you know, they came and sat at our feet, and they took it back to Greece. And many of the Greeks said, "What are you getting these foreign ideas?" So they made Socrates drink poison, made him drink hemlock. And then Plato, he seen what was happening. He cut loose and he stayed in Kemet for about almost 20 years. And then he came back this great philosopher. And then, of course, Aristotle was on the same time as Alexander the so-called great. And Aristotle was a tremendous thief. I mean, that guy was just putting his name on all kind of stuff. And so then that declined. Right. But then the next move came when the Europeans were in a decline, but the only light that was in Europe was from the northern, coming out of North Africa with the Moors in Western Europe, in Spain, and in Portugal. They taught them how to bathe. They taught them how to get them damn animals out of their castles and put them in a corral, you know, algebra and so forth. All of these things. And then what happened? They woke up again. You know, I've been a studier of history, and I remember even as a child, I remember reading about the Renaissance of man. Well, of course, how they presented, they're saying it's the Renaissance of man, but it's not. It's the awakening of Europeans to the detriment of the planet, because once those Caucasians woke up and they said, listen, we may war amongst ourselves, and they do. They're very warring like people, and we see that to this very day. But we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And that's what they have done. And they developed this idea of collective whiteness. And so, you know, this is what we're up against. This is why, you know, brothers have such a hard time, particularly here in America, which is controlled by Caucasians. They have a hard time, you know, being who we are. And even, you know, establishing families and so forth, because they know that a good, solid family is a real challenge. So if I could, if I can split that up, if I can make the woman think that she is better, if I can split that up and kind of effeminize the men, which of course has been going on, and people have accepted that feminization, you know, to some extent, you know. So we're in a very tough, we're in a very tough, and I remember you writing and seeing some of your posts talking about this, and you, were, you had a good analogy on it, brother.
Yeah, man. I mean, I kind of piggybacking on what you had mentioned, man. You look at when you type, when you take a indigenous people and you migrate over to a barren land, and then you stay there for 20,000 years and you convert yourself from black to this new Caucasian subspecies Neanderthal barbaric type of mindset, you become what I call a hoarder. Right. You hoard all the resources because they're not plentiful. If you go to any indigenous people, from the Aborigines to the Native Americans to Africans and many nations, when there's a land of plenty, there's no need to hoard and fight. If you know over resources, because the earth sustains us all, you have enough to sustain us. So why are we trying to hoard it and then control it? But Europeans, and that once that conversion from black African to the white European happened, they became what we call, like you said, a barbaric warrior type invading species, right? It's the same as an army ant. You'll never get an army ant to feel bad about army anting. He's going to go and destroy everything all resources because that's all he knows to do. That's just what he is. So white people, just based off of their DNA, they can't control their bloodlust, and they can't control the way that they see the world. They see the world as, I see all that's plenty, I must gather it. This comes from being in a barren, thousands of years being in a barren, frozen-ass tundra, Germany, Greece, I mean, all these other places, and you say, I have to take everything because I don't know when I'm going to get more. And if I become a warrior species, because if I go venture out looking for food and I see somebody else who has just a little bit, if I take their little bit and add it to mine, so now we fight all the fucking time, right? So now you deal with that as far as our peaceful indigenous mindset. And it just basically, like y'all, like they've always said, a warrior species is going to always defeat a gathering species, you know, that type of mindset. So when I saw that, I wanted to go now back to the writings. I wanted to write a letter to dear black people, to black people. So I wrote 3-part letters to black people because I saw what Diddy was saying initially. You know, Diddy claims he won't vote for Joe Biden if he doesn't change quality of life of black and brown people. Now, what I wanted to express on that is that, what are you asking for, Diddy? Really? To the white person hearing your cry, they're going to say, well, what is he asking for? And what I wanted to let black people know in my writings is that there's going to be a point, which I believe we're already here, that what you're asking for is too much. And what I mean by that is that I gave an example of a spider web being the United States, the spider being white people currently in the dominant positions that they run the country, and the fly being black people or any other minority. And the spider has absolutely zero interest to see what life is like as the fly. And greater more, he has zero interest of ever allowing to the fly to see how good it is to be the spider. So Diddy, because if you do that, If you allow the fly to see how good it is to be the spider, then nothing, the only next move is revolution and war. Why? Because you'll never say, all right, man, that was cool being a spider for a little while, man. I guess I'll go back to be the fly. Nobody is ever going back for spider to fly.
That's right. You're going to fight because you're going to be,
you're going to fight to stay the spider. So right now, when you're asking for a better life, now you're saying, okay, hey, man, I've done everything I can to rearrange your oppression and make it not look as bad as it is, but keep it the same, if not greater, against you. Meaning, I got the Emancipation Proclamation. It changes you from slave to prisoner when I institute the 13th Amendment. So that just rearranged for white gain, because now there's more prisoners for free labor than there ever at this current time than there ever was at one time the amount of slaves.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll also rearrange for white gain your ability to vote. Okay, we'll let you vote. But again, when you vote, you're voting on laws and constitutional and amendments and Bill of Rights that have created my white privilege and has also simultaneously created your black disadvantage. So if you vote on these laws, nothing changes. Again, like we said on the previous show, you're just voting on which slave master beats your ass with the whip.
That's right.
Because it's going to be the same laws that have created your black disadvantage anyway. Mm-hmm. But we'll give you the right to vote, so we'll rearrange it for your black gain. Desegregation. Just because you had to file your taxes, them white folks knew. It's a bunch of black money being spent over there across them railroad tracks. Them niggas are spending. Let's open it up. They'll see our big fancy stores. They've always wanted to associate with us anyway. You saw how hard they worked to get out the field just to come in our house and be around us. They ain't never thought to be free. They just wanted to be around us, get better conditions as a slave. To not be a slave or a captive. They just wanted to get better conditions. So they'll come over here, and guess what? We'll take that money that they're spending over there and add it to ours. So they allowed you in. Rearranged for white gain. They allowed Jackie Robinson in. Why? Not because they just admired the brother and felt a moralistically need to change. No, they knew that in the future there's going to be a LeBron and Jordan. They knew that if they can pay LeBron $35 million a year, how much does he make an owner?
Right.
You still don't control nothing.
Right.
You still don't own nothing. We'll allow you to sit where you want to on the bus because you're still paying the fare on my bus to work to go take you to my factory so I can pay you the lowest amount that I pay any of my other employees. Win-win.
Yep.
So what Diddy is asking is for the fly, the spider, to give him a little bit more to feel like the spider. And now you're asking for too damn much. I'm fresh out of ideas on to pissing on your leg and telling you that it's raining. I don't know how to mask it anymore. And what you're asking for is the next step, which is life as a spider. We can't allow you to enjoy any of that because you'll see how good it is. And now you will never want to go back to the fly. So we got to keep our foot on your throat. And that's what I was saying on my dear black people. They're not interested in making this better for you.
No, they're not. And they never have been. They never have been.
Right.
But because they're the masters of illusion, and to us, we feel it's inclusion, but it's really a facade because it would never incorporate us in their overall idea and scheme, because the bottom line is they wish we would disappear. They wish we would disappear.
Yeah.
And for some people, they believe that when you look at vaccines, when you look at a lot of things that have happened to us and continue to happen to us, the syphilis test, all of these things are designed to eliminate us, you know,
right?
Because we have the genetic, just like Frances Cress Welsing said, when she said that she got that epiphany, she realized that the European, when he went out and began to take people's stuff in the name of and encountered women through rape, but the offspring did not look like them, causing a feeling of uneasiness or the feeling of genetic annihilation. And so therefore, I have to control everything. I must be in control. And I must determine what is going to be what and when and where. So regardless of how the planet is made up, even though they're less than 10% of the planet's population, they're less than 10%, but they control 80 to 90% of the resources and wealth on the planet. I must be in control. See? And so as a consequence, because we have been so whitewashed and our minds are so messed up, you know, that we believe somehow that all the bull that they have been feeding us through their religion and through their other methods of control, that somehow they'll have an epiphany and they'll allow us, just like you said, to give us a little, and then we'll think that we are just like the spider. We ain't nothing but a damn fly, you know.
Still a fly. We have no aspiration to ever come on the wasp.
No.
We just want to remain. We're just happy because, again, I think there's the confusion. Hey, I do have... I do have a brother of mine who wants to kind of comment.
Okay.
Mr. S. Brown, I think I gave him the number, and
okay.
he wants to chime in.
For sure.
Mr. Brown, you there?
Well, let me, what is his, what is his number?
Oh, okay. You have to call him because I gave him that phone. I gave him the number. I guess
is he 972?
Yes. You're the, okay. He's 972. Hold on. Let me see.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to African Perspectives. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go to a break, Brother Brown, but when we come back, we're going to get right to you, and we're going to further this conversation. Is that cool?
That's great.
All right, dear brother. Thank you, and thank you, too, Brother Marshall. We're going to go right now to our break, and when we come back from the break, there'll be more discussion. As I said, I just read the Inye Sasim for the day, which was a quote from Marvin Gaye, and that's what we have. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Right on. Everybody thinks we're all the mother. Who are they to judge us?
Mother, mother.
Simply cause we wear our hair long.
Mother, mother.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program, African Perspectives, is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following this program on Monday and Wednesdays at 1 o'clock is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. And then on Tuesday, the Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition with Dr. William Rogers from 4 to 6, Black Talk. And then on Sunday evening, Time for an Awakening, once again, at 7 p.m., from 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Once again, remember, my guest on Wednesday will be Dr. Ben Orr, Atura Ben Orr, with the Black Hebrew Israelites. And then on Friday, Dr. Renoka Rashidi, my good brother and friend, Dr. Renoka Rashidi, talking about his work that he has been doing. Of course, he has been restricted because of travel, but you know that he has literally gone around the world documenting the African presence everywhere, and we thank him for it. Getting back to our conversation with my good brother, Brother Kenneth Marshall. Good afternoon.
Hey.
All right.
Man, I appreciate you having me.
Yo, man, it's a pleasure. I want to get to you, your friend, my brother,
Mr. Brown,
972, Mr. Brown, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Yeah, man, we was just kind of talking, man. I know that Mr. Brown he's been a long-time friend of mine, man. We've been friends over almost 10 years. And he was tuning into the perspective. He listened to some of the shows. He's been, you know, we've been back and forth and partnering up. He's been on my radio show before. So we had talked once. I made some of these posts about to the Dear Black People, and I know he has some interesting perspectives on things that have occurred from the judge, the black man, the black judge that was just strong armed and pushed aside when the white lady who was protesting everything, and he sent her for 7 days in jail, and then the senator, whoever, gave the executive order to get the releaser, and you know how they just bogart and disrespect us, and then also the Ahmaud, you know, the Ahmaud killing and shooting and so forth. So yeah, and then also he kind of read the whole thing with the Dear Black People as far as the spider and the fly scenario, man. So yeah, man, that's what we've been talking about, Mr. Brown. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of let you kind of give in because the quiet is kept. Yeah, I never let him know this, man, but he's one of the true inspirations that I've had to start the Malcolm X persona. He don't
All
know
right.
He was working at a certain All call right. center before, but he really did spark that.
Well,
hey, man, don't lift me up too much, bro. I might not meet expectations.
No,
man.
Brother, you'll be fine, and welcome to the show, Brother Brown. Go ahead, Brother Brown.
All right, man. Yeah, so with the Ahmaud shooting, I guess my perspective on that is it's going to continue to happen until we realize as a people that we can't wait on white America to be guilty enough to save us, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
they're completely unable to feel any guilt. Okay, they're psychopaths. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, if you read Dr. Bobby Wright's brilliant essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality, you know, he will say to you that these people, you know, and Dr. Bobby Wright was a clinical psychologist. He understood it very clearly, the mindset of these Europeans and how they operate. And he said they have no remorse. There is no guilt. You know, they know the difference between right and wrong. They know the difference. They just choose to ignore the concept, and they continue to do what is in their selfish best interest. So yep, go ahead, brother.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. You know, there, you know, it's a lot of, it's a lot. If I'm piggybacking off of what Ken said earlier, Mr. Marshall said earlier about the spider versus the fly, they have no stake in us. You know, they have no, it kind of goes back to, if you've ever read, mythology or Greek mythology specifically, there's a story about Achilles and Hector. Mm-hmm. And when Achilles meets Hector, Achilles is a demigod. And when he meets Hector, Hector tries to negotiate with Achilles about how they're going to be buried, you know, trying to assure that whoever the victor is assures that the loser has a
honorable
burial.
Right. Honorable. And
Achilles says to him plainly, he says, lions don't negotiate with men. In other words, there's no negotiation
exactly
that black people in America are going to have with white people to make them understand what we're going through. We've been going through this long enough for them to understand it at this point. We have enough statistics as well as history to prove that, which segues into the point, when is our mentality going to change into a self-sustaining mentality opposed to a self-reliance mentality,
Good point.
I believe the majority of us have.
Good point. You're right. And you know what? It'll only, just like all the things that are happening in the world to African people, what happened in China just about a month or so ago, what happens in Europe, what happens even on the continent, all of this disrespect and hatred towards African people only change when African people unite. There is no other way. We have to unite. We have to come together to deal with this.
They'll never grow tired of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Mr. Brown was saying, they'll never grow tired of being who they are.
Yeah.
Who they are is a barbaric society, a warriorist mentality, a hoarder of resources, a destroyer of land resources.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you'll never ever get them to think the way that they are is wrong. It's got, I remember it was, I watched this one movie and this had this one monster that his only thing was to destroy. And they read him with a computer analysis and they said he destroys because he must. and it was just that simple.
Yeah.
It's like he can't be in. You're never going to get an army ant to feel bad about army anting. He's going to destroy
everything
that they set out to. And like you said, they'll never feel guilty enough. They'll want to send out a few to make you feel like, well, not all white people are bad. I mean, I've had this discussion with my ex. He was like, well, not all of them. There were some that marched with us and helped get us. I said, no, man. Again, it goes back to the rearrange for white gain. Anything that they allowed to change, it was never for our benefit. It was for their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
Allowing, including you, benefited white people way more than it benefited the black community. It destroyed black businesses that were thriving where we were segregated.
Right. We got a lot of callers. So you two gentlemen, hold. We're going to take some of these calls. I'm going to go to some of my usual folks and that way. But if you are on the call right now and you want to talk, you can hit star twice and get in, or you can call. You can hang up and then call back. But I'm going to get one right here, which is a 404-453-404.
Hey, peace and blessings there, big brother Ochi.
Hey, Wes, how are you today?
Hey.
Good.
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out the simulated reality, man.
Okay.
I got 2 points, man. Okay, I'm going to go to the past and to the present, man. Okay? You said in the past how our downfall was, and you broke it on down. I don't even think you even realized. You said when them devil crackers, like my man Jay say, you were peons, went to Africa, okay, instead of our brothers taking them on out and sending them where the hell they belong, we sit there and let them in and start buck dancing and singing, cooking a hog and telling them every damn thing we know. Okay? That's what you just said when them Alexander come from Greece. They should have put his ass in the hard Greece. Okay? Instead of telling them every damn thing, man. That's our downfall, man. Okay, now we go to the present, man. We go to the present. This thing in Brunswick, by God, Georgia, okay? All right? We do on the same cycle, man. Okay, they kill us, we cry, go to stomping and damn marching, and then after nobody get no reciprocity, then we forgive them. That continues a goddamn cycle, man. Okay, look at them Negroes that went down there on Saturday. Okay, what they did, they went down there stomping and marching and bumping their gums, but then they made them people rich. They spend money to go down there, man, gas, food, where they bought it, buy gas in that community. They done made them folks rich, man. See, sometimes when you think you're turning, going against the system and starving the beast, you feed the damn beast, man. So what y'all think about that, OG, man? I'm so damn mad with our people, man.
Yeah, okay, Wes. I hear you.
You don't want to get off that merry-go-round, man.
That's right. I hear you. All right. Yeah, that situation in Brunswick with brother Ahmad Aubrey, in that situation, we'll there's more to that. But of course, the Caucasian who had videoed the shooting must be implicated because he's just riding down the street videoing and just so happens to come up upon a murder. No, he was part of that whole situation, really. So we have a caller, 646-646. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Hotep Ocean to your guests. Two quick things. In regards to Resource West, the reality is this. In dealing with the Aubrey situation, until you start using South African burning neckties on individuals who do that to us, we're just going to be in the same trick bag. It's never going to change. We have to make an example out of one or two of them, and then maybe they'll think twice about it.
You know, I agree, but the problem is where we are. We're in this. We are trained to believe that the court system, the legal system, is our best alternative. We must never, as they have trained us, to fight fire with fire. We must never strike back. If we're struck, then go run and tell it. We're never trained to fight back.
Oh, that whole response that you just gave is the problem.
Exactly.
And the logic of it is twisted and sick, if the truth be told. Because the reality is that it has been shown that these psychopaths are never going to stop until they're met with violence. If you understand the history of them, there has never been any place on this planet where this Urugu has come in contact with anyone of color that he hasn't murdered, raped, killed, dominated. So the reality is, until you're willing and able and have the desire to die and treat them the same way, you're going to be treated by them in the same fashion that they're going to treat you now for the next 500 years. So the reality is, you have to be willing and ready to die. Now, the second point that I wanted to make is this. The brother spoke about the brother that was making all of that money doing overtime and went out there and got him a BMW. And in the process, the daddy saw it and cut off everything, basically. And you know something? That is not surprising, because the sad thing is, instead of blaming the white man, you're supposed to blame that dumb Negro, because that Negro's sickness and his behavior to be like his oppressor caused everyone from moving forward, but we don't see it that way. We want to blame the white man for the white man doing what he was supposed to do.
See, but Jay, hold on. The bottom line is, where are we, Jay? What country is this? Exactly. Hold on.
America,
exactly.
The Negroes don't have no power to do nothing in.
And so in this country, it is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And because
we're... And whose behavior is that? Whose behavior is that? You got to understand one thing that you're missing. It's his behavior that you're perpetrating and putting on yourself to act like him, and you him, and he's constantly punishing you, and in the process, your people are punished also. So
but see,
you can't make no excuses for a Negro wanting to behave like a Yoruba.
No. Jay, hold on. Jay, I'm saying, because we're in that environment, that's how we are trained to behave. So we look at what we don't have, and boy, we wish we had. We look at what they have. We want to be there. Everything that has been done, they understand that they've trained us to beg for inclusion, to beg to live here. Please let me have a job. Please let me go to your schools. Please, we even to this very day, we're still mocking the first damn of any damn thing. Just like they talk about the first brother to be a valedictorian at Princeton. Who gives a damn?
Oshie, you missing the point, bro.
No,
you
Jay.
Missing the point.
Hold on, Jay. I'm going to cut
our
you off.
Behavior is causing this problem.
No.
Because of our desire.
I got to cut you off, Jay. Our behavior is not causing this problem. Our behavior is directed. Let me get to my guest. I'll get back with you, Jay. Go ahead, brother Marshall.
Yes, man. I agree with you 100% as far as how it's directed, and that was not my point of the initial one. I do respect what Jay was talking about.
Yeah, I do too.
Initially with with the cutting off of the the resources and so forth. But yeah, as I wanted to kind of elaborate on, with that mod situation. And the 400 years of data and proof that we have that they have zero interest in changing, what is the obstacle that keeps black people from realizing, I think we're already realizing, but taking the next step to defend themselves?
Fear.
Then we got to go back to fear, and then we got to go to religion, because we got another super deity who's supposed to handle our problems. And guess what? Somehow in the doctrine that they teach within religion, the amount of suffering, death and destruction at the hands of your enemy or the other person, white people, your ability to endure that without retaliation is somehow a testament to you for being earlier, you're Jesus, because Jesus turned the other cheek. Mm-hmm. So if there's a turn the other cheek religion given to you, it must be given you to the person by the person who's slapping the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It gotta be. So,
yeah.
And again, our first thought is, like I mentioned on one of the other posts, when they had all of the type of deaths from Ahmaud to Emmett Till, all of these ones, it's always a situation where our first instinct to do our hands is to bring them together and put them in front of our face instead of balling them up and swinging them. It's that, and you can see why it was strategically given to you at the same time that they were making you a slave, they were making you a Christian. That was by design. It was a weaponized strategy to do that. They're not giving you something to empower you, obviously, because you wouldn't be in this same pathetic state for 400 years if it was something to empower you. I'm not going to plan with Mr. Brown to go do a home invasion to a home on Wednesday, but Tuesday, me and Mr. Brown show up to give those people in that home weapons to fight against our invasion. We'll never fucking do that. Doesn't make any sense. So why would you think they would give you something empowering in the form of Christianity if they had already planned to capture you and enslave you and control you? I think that's what we have to overcome first before us, because we all know how bad it is.
But see,
why aren't we doing anything?
Right. But see, the theology that they've impacted on us is such a mind controlling theology and a belief. Giving you a belief. That's why fear.
Yes.
That's why fear. Because there's, in containing Christianity is fear. You fear God. You fear that, and of course, that acronym is false evidence appearing real. And of course, which it is not. It is not historical.
Right.
It is something that they crafted and made up. And then, not only that, they even tailored it to our condition of servitude, of captivity. They tailored to the point that we're supposed to obey our earthly masters. We're supposed to do this. Yeah. See, because in that way, that's how you get in to the heaven that they describe. Now, they have their heaven on earth. They have their heaven in the physical life. But yours is in a fictional afterlife after you have done all that you have tried to do, and yet you still believe in Jesus. And the only way that you can attain that is your belief in Jesus. There ain't nothing else really that you can do physically. No good works, no good deeds, just believe in Jesus. It's because you had people who have done heinous things. In fact, when this whole thing was done, this co-opting of the Christianity, Constantine had murdered his son. And he went to the temples of Jupiter or whatever that they were believing, that the Romans had been believing at the time, Zeus, whoever. Right. But they said, no, what you have done is heinous. But it was the Christians that allowed him to come through. And then he used Christianity, stopped establishing the Nicene Conference of 325, and made that the official religion of Rome. And from that, it spread around the world. That doctrine spread around the world. And people believed that that doctrine was historical. They believed it was factual. They believed it was salvation. Just by the belief in it was salvation. And of course, it was a great tool. Because initially, no, they did not give us the Bible initially. But they understood how it could be a sedative to end uprisings within our people on those plantations, having them believe, you know, that this deity, which is in the image of them, because I don't begrudge any human being of having a deity. If it's a face of a deity, it should look like you. You know, if you're praying to it, it should look like you. I ain't got no problem with that. But they imposed that image on us, and they imposed that theology on us, and it made us truly docile. We'll continue to work because we're going to get ours in the by and by, while these Caucasians are living large and stealing and raping and robbing and so forth. You know, so if they say those are the sins that will not get you into heaven, but they do it all the time. You know, they're the biggest perpetrators. But yet, Absolutely. But yet to us, we're giving this to make us docile. So,
yeah. I mean, and if you think about it, it's the perfect religion to give to somebody you want to control.
Yes.
And man, it is working to the T. And it's self-proliferating, man. But I tell people this, the most powerful verse in the Bible is the one that says, train them up in the way that they should go and they will never part. That creates that particular verse itself represents acquisition of new believers and retention, all in the exact same. I tell Eve, at one point in your life, because most Christian families practice this, you believed in Santa Claus with the same conviction at one time in your life as you do Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are an impressionable kid and that both were introduced to you at the same age. I used to believe that there was a monster in my closet and you couldn't tell me otherwise as a kid. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you have someone that gives you the power of the mind when you're talking about a kid, but now you come in with a authoritative person, mother, that you love and you believe has your absolute best interest in mind. Mm-hmm. And they tell you Jesus is the way. Christianity is the way. Obey your, you know, all the things that come with it and that train them up in the way. Now you're so convinced because they'll tell you everything that is good that has happened to you. I have to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because without any of this, it wasn't without him, none of this would be possible. You have taken away all credibility of your hard work, your planning, your logical mind, your intestinal fortitude. You just wiped all that credit away from yourself. So you did the work. Now, if you just sat there and prayed to your Jesus and didn't move, I bet nothing would come to you besides dust.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
but you won't recognize that it's always been you because the other verse that tells on itself is that faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. Essentially in translation means if you don't get your ass up and go make it happen, nigga, it ain't going to happen.
That's right.
So who gets the credit? But again, if I train you to give all credit due that you are just your flesh is horrible. You're useless. Your sin. You're just a dirt. You know, all that and all the glory needs to go to God. Now your confidence is totally shaken. You have doubt to a certain degree.
That's why I vehemently hate what's that song? Amazing Grace, written by a Caucasian who was an enslaver of a captor of our people on a ship. Amazing Grace to save a wretch like me. You know, man, I hate that song. I remember when Barack sung that song. He sung that song at South Carolina when those brothers and sisters got killed by Dylann Roof. He sung that song. I was like, oh, damn, hate that song.
Brothers, but we don't even know what we're singing, man.
No, we don't. Well, you know, at one time, but at one time we kind of did, because we put those songs, those so-called spirit in code, you know, down by the riverside. So planning our escape. See, that's why on this program, you'll never hear me use the word slave to describe our people, because we were not slaves. We were captives. We were captives, you know, because a slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We always resisted. There's a history of us resisting and fighting back on the continent, in the so-called Middle Passage, and in this hemisphere. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting back. So no, we're not slaves. We're captives. And the captor wants to continue to impress upon us that we were slaves. That's why I hate the word, because they're all the time the slaves, and our people do it. We're not slaves. We were not slaves. And in fact, that's become so synonymous. If you say the word slave, you automatically put our face on it. But other people were in servitude as well. But no, it has become synonymous with us. It's just like the word Holocaust. It's synonymous with the word of European Jews. They have a word already for it, which is Shoah. But because it's an English word, when you hear the word Holocaust, and believe me, a Holocaust is a morally demonstrative of an act. It's against not just the people themselves, but against humanity. I agree with that. If one person died in a so-called European Jewish Holocaust, that's bad. But ours has been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and literally millions of people have died in what we call the Ma'afa, the great tragedy, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our captivity. You know, I'm going to get a caller in here, let me get back to Brother Brown. Brother Brown, you've been still hanging on.
Yes, sir.
What you got to say? Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just chewing it all up. You know, I heard the first two callers, and I think they both had good information. Yeah. Everybody's having good information. That first caller, he said something that stuck with me, which I've been harping on for a while, that I don't really speak to in public much, but I speak to it now. It was when he said we talk too much as a people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if black people understand, but white people's Bible is not the Bible. White people's Bible is the 48 laws of power. They operate in power moves. The life. It's kind of like how the white people view the world, kind of in the kind of like how you notice Donald Trump does press interviews. If you want to negotiate with a white guy, try to negotiate with Donald Trump. That's what it's like. Mm. So, you know what I mean? So, you know, like when I say talk too much, what I'm saying is when you think about this systematic racism is done very subtly. It's done through law, scripted in ways that sound very non-threatening. However, those who execute the laws know what it means, and they handle us accordingly, right? So, for instance, stop and frisk in New York, right? Stop and frisk, it seemed like a way to get criminals off the street, but when you stop and frisk only in Harlem, only in Bed-Stuy, only in all of the
black
places,
you know what the result's going to be. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know what, mm-hmm. So my point is, when I say talking too much, we don't operate in secrecy enough, I believe. I think that we are very, it's part of our nature. We are very loud. We're animated. We're rhythmic people. So when we speak spirit. We have spirit when we speak. Mm-hmm. And when we got something on our heart, we got to get it off our chest.
Right.
Well, but the problem with that is they always
see you coming. When you look at the Mexican guy, I live here in Texas. When you see the Mexican, he just moves in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Then he moves his cousin in, your, yeah. in his house. And it's once he fills his house with capacity, he moves his other family across the street and then next door and down the street and around the corner and throughout. And before you know it, in about 10 years, your neighborhood's about 30% Hispanic. Mm-hmm. He didn't put out a social media video. He didn't talk about it.
He just did
about it on a podium. He didn't talk about it in Mexico. He came right. and he moved in is right. what he did with no credit, no job. And selling oranges on the street. He just moved in.
And they worked
and
together.
And what he did is, well, what happens is when you aggregate enough bodies together, power comes with it.
I say, good
automatically.
Boy. Yeah.
It's very difficult to corral a people. A white guy is not going to come in a black in the middle of Harlem and start calling everybody niggas. Even though he owns the mayor's seat, he owns the state seat. He owns all the local power. Sure. He's still not going to walk in the middle of Harlem and start calling everybody niggas. Why is that? Because there's too many niggas around. That's why. The point is, if we need to move a little bit more in secrecy and aggregate our people. As you aggregate people, you aggregate wealth. As you aggregate wealth, you aggregate land. You aggregate thoughts and you move your money in the same direction. But until we start moving in that direction, we'll never get from underneath the thumb of anybody white because they move in silence as well as it vocally through media.
Yeah.
We don't, but they control the voice that is outputted.
That's right.
We don't control the voice that's outputted. We just clang and sound like a bell out to anybody that'll listen to our ideas. And like, for instance, the first two callers, in sentiment, I 100% agree with both. Some of the specifics I don't know about, but in sentiment, I agree with both of them. However, are those thoughts that need to even be put out publicly or spoken to in detail publicly?
No.
And until we start getting in the mind frame that we want to speak in diatribes, in community settings, along with small groups, and let those small groups of like-minded people grow into something bigger, then what we're going to do is get cut off at the knees at every turn. If you don't pay attention to history, you're doomed to repeat it. Marcus Garvey still got infiltrated. Now Noble Drew Ali infiltrated. All the leaders that we've had have been infiltrated in some kind of way, and their progress stopped and halted, mainly because they were in the public eye. But if we can get out of the public eye and build the strength that we need without white America glaring down on us and creating a new damn topic on Fox News about this new black identity terrorist
extremism, black identity extremism.
Then maybe we can move forward.
Yeah.
But
good
until
point.
We decide to be a little more secretive.
Yeah.
Hold our position a little bit more to the chest.
Because what you're
stop writing books and doing media about it. Now, some things we have to put out, right? But we need to put controlled media out, not just speak about every damn thing in the under the sun and create all these damn big podium speeches and stuff about what's going on with Ahmaud and all that. I don't want to talk about it. I have the mentality with something like Ahmaud. I'm more of the type of mentality where I see what happened. I know how I'm going to handle that. I'm going to talk to the people that I normally talk to, that I trust, that I deal with on a normal basis, and we handle that accordingly. And mm-hmm. and like-minded people like myself who have the same ideas, we handle it accordingly. Mm-hmm. But that's how you get things done. You don't – I think that a lot of times we don't get things done because – we are way too vocal without being controlled in what we say publicly.
And see, what you make a great point, because that's what we need. We need brothers and sisters to come together and organize and aggregate. You know, same thing that the what's his name? Man, now the name just escaped me. But
talking about the caller, talking about Jay. It was two callers. I can't remember their name. Jay and somebody else. I don't remember the first.
But anyway, You know, what we need to do, obviously, is come together and move in that direction, not silently, but not boastfully, not ostentatiously, but move in a way that is pragmatic and serious, because that's what we must do. You know, come together, pull our resources, buy apartment buildings, buy housing, buy things that we can create jobs for ourselves. That's what Us Lifting Us was about. You know, pulling our resources, being a collective. We need to be a collective. You know, but we live in America. America is about capitalism. And capitalism in and of itself is a very evil system. Claude Anderson. I was thinking about Claude Anderson. He talks about that a lot in terms of aggregating. Let me get another caller in here. Caller 214. 214, caller. You got a comment? 214-809. Caller 214. Okay. Let me get back to caller 334. Caller 334.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie, and to your guests. This is a very stimulating dialogue. I think I want to reserve my comments and just listen, because there are some things with Brother Brown, with, I think that was Brother Brown who had mentioned about us being vocal, I totally agree with, and there's got to be some kind of way that we can organize ourselves, as you stated. Yeah. But, you know, as it pertained to this episode in Brunswick, Georgia, I've just been listening and been reading, and, you know, I really wish there could have been a way, especially something within our culture. And I know this is going to sound morbid and sound way out, but, you know, I really wish there were a way, now that we know and see who those perpetrators were, that there would be a way to take the body of Ahmaud and literally chain them with that body, those two perpetrators. Chain them with, I mean, to some degree, for him, father on the front, you know, or on the side, the son on the other side, and let them live what they have done. I don't know if that's thing to consider. I know it sounds crazy.
That is out there.
I'm sure they're going to have a little problem with it.
Yeah.
and so because it is so apparent, it is just so real as day. And so I think culture, because I wonder if we ever really learned how to deal with murder. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, when Cain slew Abel, Cain was still left to live, even though he had this light shining above his head that was an indicator of something atrocious that he's done. You know, we've had murders committed within the Bible for all of the Bible-toting and Christian-loving individuals, but have we really, really learned how to deal with murder in the first place anyway? And so there's got to be an alternative. And like I said, as I read and think about, boy, I know this idea sounds morbid, but that's what happens when you're in the comforts of your own sphere of existence. You could definitely go off on tangents.
I'm
enjoying the conversation, brothers.
Right.
Thank you so very much for sharing. And I'm always listening in and learning, Brother Oshie. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Brother Ted. Thank you, Brother Ted. Thank you.
Thank you.
646-646.
Yeah, well, basically, I think it was Brother Brown or the other brother had spoke about the movement of the Mexicans. That's a prime example why every ethnic group in this country is dominating us. There's not a ethnic group in this country, and then on top of that, even the homosexuals in this country dominate black people. We have to ask ourselves why and what are we going to do about it. And the sad thing is that we don't understand that those ethnic groups and those other groups are our enemy. It always will be our enemy. Until we understand that and realize, like Dr. Clark said, we have no friends, we'll be in the same position that we in today, tomorrow, and in the future. And that's the tragedy of it all. So when, you know, we get in these positions of people being killed, and we get in these positions of us not being employed, and all of these things, we're still going to be asking ourselves, because I'll leave you with this. Let's see what becomes of the position of black people when this country supposedly opens up and they start rehiring people. And the fact of the matter is, we'll be the last hired. And the way that businesses are being destroyed right now, it's going to be absolutely sad to see where we are. But I want y'all to do this one thing for me. Check out what Magic Johnson has just announced that he's doing.
Right, I just saw that.
He's going to give out loans.
$100 million. Yeah, he's going to give out loans.
He's going to give out loans to black-owned businesses. Ask yourself and watch closely, real, real closely. What's the interest rate that he's going to be giving those loans out at? Because if you understand his history and who he is, always remember he was a spokesperson for a predatory situation against black people called Rent-A-Center. And that's the type of individual that I'm talking about. Because remember, the feds are giving out interest rates of 0%.
That's high.
So let's see what happens.
7% is high. That's ridiculous.
No, no, no. The feds, excuse me, my mistake. The feds are giving out interest rates of 0%.
Oh,
my mistake.
Okay.
And I want to see what type of interest rates he's going to give in regards to those loans.
Yeah.
And anything over 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be robbery at this time. But I guarantee you, he's going to do his thing.
Well, you know what I hope, you know what I hope, Jay? I would hope that he could get Michael, you know, other cats to come with him, Patrick, all those guys that were big at his time and the present time, even to the guys today, they would come up, a professional athletes, the cats that, the brothers that played baseball, the brothers that are playing football and basketball, pull that money together and say, we're going to do this for our people. We're going to give out loans. This is our money. We've earned this. We're going to give out loans.
They're handing this, they don't allow them to. The people that control them do not allow them to. That's why, to be honest with you, everybody talks about LeBron James and what he's doing, which I think is admirable. But you also got to take into consideration, when people talk about the Jay-Z's and the rest of them, what are they really doing? So my thing is, because I've been around them on enough of a level to witness how they act, and I'll say this to you. If Jay-Z makes $1 million, his handler is making 7 to 8 times more. And I know that for a fact.
All right. Well, listen, Jay, we got to go.
That's the reality.
Yeah. Okay, my brother.
So hopefully they'll come together collectively.
That would be great.
But you know, based on what happened with Uhu, the group that he was in, how those situations worked out. But I enjoyed the conversation, brother.
Right on, Jay.
And
have a good day.
Day.
You too, brother. Peace. We only got a couple more minutes. I'm going to get my guest, brother, brother Kenneth Marshall. Just give me some, we only have a few more minutes. Tell me about what's going on with the product, how people can get that. Brother Brown, if you got a closing remark as well. So go ahead, Brother Marshall.
All right, I'm going to go ahead real quick. Yeah, got the 2 books, Why Must We Play These Dating Games and Dating Truths, Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. You can get them at on Amazon. Just put in Why Must We Play These Dating Games or Kenneth Marshall, and they'll come up both copies that are $10 a piece on Amazon. Also, we got the Ken's Famous Waffles. Just as our first year anniversary is today, we
right
got 400 jars sold. We're trying to grow. We're looking to get a food truck this year. Just some things that we're trying to do to grow the business. And my closing remarks on everything, man, it just has to be a time where we have to realize that truly enough is enough and really believe it in our heart and then move accordingly in the ways that Mr. Brown was said initially. You got to move in silence, but again, they have eyes. They understand what type of threat we are if we organize. So therefore, this particular European species are very proactive on trying to prevent things from occurring. Yeah. So we already know that each one of us are being listened to and watched. They got things in place on Facebook to pick up certain words. They got things on your phones and your smartphones. You talk about something, and all of a sudden you go through your search, and there it goes. You'd be like, man, I was just talking about some waffles. Well, I got waffle irons on my phone. So they hear everything, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, we got to figure out some kind of way maybe to leave our phones. We got to meet up in something and then, you know, whatever kind of way that we have to move to assimilate and move in that power structure and create these type of foundations and plans and orchestrate those and execute them to start to grow our community, our nation within this nation and for our own betterment. So I really appreciate you having me on. And then again, Oshie, anytime you need me, just let me know. I'll be here.
Right on, brother. You know I will call you, man, because I really appreciate you. Brother Brown, you got a couple of closing remarks right quick before we get up out of here? Okay. Listen, brothers and sisters, my brother, my good friend, Brother Dennis Blackwell, fellow firefighter, too. He's out of FaceTime jail, and he's putting good stuff up already, man. It's a good brother. Appreciate you, Brother Dennis, and all the brothers and sisters, you know, that are out there, continue to listen. I got to make a way for my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones and the Black People Matrix coming up right after this program. So we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants and think they can't do without and shown in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening. Please join us again on Wednesday and, of course, on Friday as well. I have Dr. Renoka Rashidi and Brother Dr. Ben Orr on Wednesday. Shem Hotep. That means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.